You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Dave Kellner, Rory Delaghi and Craig Forsyth in the studio. We have two national hunt meetings, Market Raisin and Plumpton playing host to the jumps action. We also have all weather racing on the Tapita at Wolverhampton on Monday afternoon as well. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Alistair Jones. How are you, Ali?
Very well. Very well.
Good. You're not all that sure, but we'll crack on. Want to have a little bit of a look back at some of the best of Saturday's action before we get stuck into Monday. And we'll start with possibly the best performance, well, definitely the best performance of the day, possibly the best performance I've seen for a long time, really. Arrogate. If I'd have said to you he won the Dubai World Cup, as his odds suggested, then you'd probably say, fair enough, I expected that. But then if I tell you that he didn't just miss the break, he ran into other horses at the start, was left last, and still tanked through the race and won with plenty in hand. It was some performance, wasn't it?
Unbelievable, yeah. I mean, you did suspect that he might just do something like that because, at the Breeders' Cup last year, he just looked an absolute monster of a horse in beating California Chrome with the pair, half the track clear of everything else. I mean, he's just got the scope and size of a horse that can only get better. And what he did at Maidan was truly spectacular. And everybody said Frankel was the best they'd ever seen. And, Judd Monty have yet again unearthed an absolute superstar. He's not a quickener, he's a galloper, but he's got some stride on him,
Yeah.
His one stride goes to, the others are, it's like ducks under the pond sort of thing, isn't it?
Is that a phrase? Ducks under the pond.
Well, ducks legs under the pond. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is, the other horses are just, they sort of do three strides to his one.
Yeah.
It's like men against boys, and it's difficult to see how he's going to have his colours lowered, if you like, because he's just, as long as I pick the right races for him, it's hard to envisage him getting beaten,
Yeah.
The rest of the year. There's just nothing on the planet that can touch him. I mean, if he can do that after giving them, that sort of start, then they've got absolutely no hope. And it's not as though he beat a shoddy field. I mean, there were some big names in there, whose form really stacks up in the dirt division. It was a sensational performance.
It certainly was. He's the highest rated horse in the world. He's now got the highest earnings of any horse.
Yeah.
As well. I think he's done it, the majority of it, in the space of 140 days.
Well, yeah, he was a maiden this time last year.
Yeah.
So nobody had ever heard of him. An absolute machine. But it was a great day at Maidan. It was a really good card. I think there was a lot of horses to take out of it.
Hmm. Got beat on debut. Ran in maidens and claimers, I think, to start with.
They do it different over there,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah. Great performance then from Arrogate. Call him Arrogate. Well, we'll call him that. Arrogate is his actual name. One of the other performances I want to touch on from Maidan as well was that of Jack Hobbs.
Yeah.
Some training performance to start with. We always knew he had plenty of ability. John Gosden in the past has described him as a bit of a big baby towards the end of his three-year-old campaign. Looks a very, very useful prospect.
Yeah, I mean, he's an absolute... he promised to do something like that. I mean, his performances in the English and Irish derbies were definitely not forgotten, and last year he signed off with a really positive performance in the Champion Stakes, and things bode well for the year ahead with this horse. I think they're going to target the Hardwick and then the King George, and then it'll be on to the Ark, I'd have thought, because it was an astonishing performance yesterday. I mean, everybody, Arrogate has sort of stole the headlines really, but Jack Hobbs was they put the blinkers on, and he was pretty keen during the first half of the race. You know, I actually tipped him up in the weekender, so I was watching him above all others in that race. And I thought after the first half of the race, he couldn't win because he'd been plenty keen enough. But, yeah, they couldn't get him off the bridle. I mean, he literally led a furlong out on the steel. And, yeah, it was a performance that promises a great deal for this horse when he's back in Europe during the summer.
Mm. Do you think it will end in an arc tilt? Do you think that's the
absolutely
main
thing? Yeah. You know, mile and a half turf horse, he's up there with the very best, you'd think. Mm. So, absolutely. Yeah, all roads will lead to Longchamp.
Mm. Anything else stand out to you at Maidan before we have a quick reflection on some of the domestic stuff?
Yeah, I thought in the sprint, I thought Ertegel, even though he was a beaten favourite, I thought it was a massive run from him. It was over six furlongs. Obviously, he beat the track record the time before over five. I think whether he's quite as good at six as he is five, I'm not sure. But what didn't help him yesterday was the rain. They had a lot of rain at the track, and that just sort of dulled his... I think had they not had all the downpours, he'd have won yesterday. He just wants quick ground, and he was deprived that yesterday. But in finishing third, I thought, if anything, it was a run that enhanced his reputation as opposed to knocking it. So for me, he's a horse that... I don't know what the plans are, if he's going to come back to Europe or what, but I don't see anything touching him over five furlongs.
No, I would agree with that. Bit of action to talk about on the domestic front as well. Decent day at Newbury. The big mares finale is the feature race on their card on the Saturday. One of the big races on their card, a Grade Two, and it went the way of Snow Leopard S for Charlie Longsden and Aidan Coleman, and she's done it in pretty good fashion in the end. Won by falling to head of Copper Cane River Arrow, and she's quite a nice mare, isn't she?
Absolutely, yeah. It's always, you know, it takes a good mare to win that race because it's so competitive, and to win it by four lengths, and you know, she was only pushed clear really close, you know, close home. So one with plenty of authority and a mare with plenty of size about her as well. So I don't know what the plans will be with her. You know, you'd have thought chasing, but maybe obviously she's worth quite a lot of money now from a paddock perspective. So yeah, it was a good performance.
Hmm. Anything else stand out to you on the domestic front before we move on to Monday's action?
Yeah, it was. You always have a bit of a lull, don't you, between Cheltenham and Aintree in terms of quality. But I thought Bullionaire, the Goff's bumper, which was the second last race at Newbury. This is a Harry Fry trained horse who only won by three lengths, but I'll tell you what, he was a different league to the rest. He pulled himself to the front. Nothing could give him a lead for long enough, and he's a horse who looks the part, and he's definitely got a big future. That's Bullionaire.
Mm. You mentioned Aintree there, not too far away from that, of course. So we've got that coming up in a couple of weeks. Great racing to look forward to over the 3 days of the Grand National Festival. Grand National itself, to put you on the spot slightly, do you have an opinion in the big race yet?
I don't really want to talk about the Grand National Mark because I did about a grand on Gallant Oscar, who was pulled out of the race about 4 weeks ago. And I just, the more I look at the race now, I just think on, had it got in off no weight, it would have, had it got round, obviously a lot of hads and bits and buts, but it would have won. So I'm completely distraught.
Well, we should move on then.
But of those with... I don't like a lot of those towards the top of the market. I really don't. We actually went through this last night. And I just can't be having any of them. The one amongst the market leaders, the one I think who would be the safest proposition is Black Lion, who's a horse with... he's not the biggest, but Red Rum wasn't the biggest. And he's a... you'd fancy him to get round. He's got a bit of class. He'll stay. I mean, that's a pipe horse I just cannot have. I wouldn't back it at three times the price for current favourite.
Ville and Rouge.
He just didn't stay last year. I just don't see any reason why he should produce anything superior this time around. And he needs soft ground. Whether he's going to get that is debatable. I just think he's a hideous market leader. He really is. So, yeah, of the ones prominent in the betting, Black Lion for me, but... you know, I'm very much crying in my milk. if that's a phrase.
We've come up with some good phrases. Well, sorry to put you through that pain. Villain Rouge, the 10-1 market leader. Black Lion, 14-1. Cause of Causes, definitely Red. One for Arthur and The Last Samurai are also 14-1. 16 Zucello Conti and 20-1 Barlow as it stands at the moment. We'll leave that there. We'll move on to Monday's action and we'll get Alistair's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at three races at Market Raisin and one from Plumpton as well. We'll go through these in time order, so we'll be moving between the tracks. And we start with Market Raisin's 240, which is a mare's handicap hurdle, a Class 4 event over the extended 2 miles. Only five of them in the lineup here, Alistair. A couple of nice mares in there, but yeah, what do you make of it?
Yeah, it's tight, this. All five can have a chance. The one I was going to go for is the bottom one, Vic's Last Stand, who is a consistent mare, definitely didn't get home over 3 mile at Doncaster on its final run just over 100 days ago. Three wins have all been off lower marks, it has to be said, from 2 mile to 2.5, but we know she can be competitive off this figure. She has been placed off this mark. And what is going to really help her is the drying ground, because she doesn't want the ground too soft. I presume that's why they've sort of given her 3 months off. And the fact that they've booked Richard Johnson as well for this mare would suggest that stamina, fitness isn't going to be an issue first time back. So, yeah, it's a competitive little race. You can also make cases for All My Love, who hit the front probably a bit early at Catterick last time. My Little Cracker, nothing not to like about her. She won in workmanlike style at Hexham and is bound to run a race. Hopes, Wishes, and Nautical Twilight, they've all got squeaks, but I just think with the ground drying out, back over her best trip, and with the champion jockey booked, I think Vic's Last Stand is probably the best option there.
Vic's Last Stand, then, the selection for Alistair in the 240. Moving on to Plumpton next for their 3 o'clock, and this is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over the extended 2.5 miles, a field of 14 of them set to go to post, and quite an open betting heat. This is going to be one of the more competitive races on the day, at least.
Yeah, this is wide open. The one I'm going to go for is the Philip Hobbs horses are running well, which counts for a lot this, you know, in this sort of late stage of the season. And Beau de Brise came good at Taunton in December. That was only his third handicap. It was fourth last time over course and distance off this very mark, but I think this gelding is ready for this longer trip, and it's a competitive race. You can make cases for plenty of them, but in the hope that Beau de Brise can just find a little bit of progress over this longer trip, then I expect him to be bang thereabouts. King Uther was a winner last time, but he's a horse that makes life very hard for himself. He doesn't travel at all. He'll finish, but tends to hit a flat spot, and I'd be wary of backing that one, even though he's a last time out winner.
Okay, so Beau de Brise, the selection for Alistair there. Good race, though. Beggar's Wishes, King Uther, Ground Under Repair all arrived there in winning form. Plenty of them with place form as well. It's a real warm race. The 3 o'clock, moving back to Market Raisin next for the 3.10 on their card, which is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. A field of 7 set to go to post for this one. And I imagine Future Gilded will be a fairly short price favourite here.
Yeah, what makes you think that?
Because he's a previous course winner, arrives here on the back of a couple of runner-up efforts.
I'm only interested because, I think he's a cracking bet. And I'm just interested you picked him out because he's a horse that has been so far confined to fences since arriving in Britain. This is actually his first hurdle run for Jamie Snowden, but he did win over hurdles in his one and only start in France. And I like him over this trip as well. It was his first run over 3 mile when going close at Warwick last time in a handicap chase. And the beauty, you know, you can see why they're reverting back to hurdles here, because he's £5 lower in this discipline. And they've booked Aidan Coleman. I think there's plenty of positives. We know he can win races off this mark. We know he's effective over hurdles. He's in form, probably mildly progressive. I mean, he's had very little mile, you know, got very low mileage for an 8-year-old, and he'd actually been off for quite a while as well prior to this season, so he's a horse that's definitely finding his feet again. I think there's more to come from this fellow, and as I said, £5 lower than when runner-up over fences last time. I think his claims are crystal clear.
Runner-up last time to Shanro Santos, who's subsequently gone on to win at Sandown, so that
exactly
form's been boosted.
Yeah, that form's been pranked. He won at Sandown, I think. Yeah, I think there's a lot to like about this horse. It's a decent race, mind. I mean, you've got You've got Bowie and Popely's Gull, who are almost certainly going to give their running. And the bottom one, Wakey Dreams, is also interesting. Jenny Candish has put a visor on that one. And if it happens to trigger a response, then, you know, he's on a perfectly good handicap mark. So he's a danger as well. But I think Future Gilded is without question the interesting one there.
Mm. Future Gilded then for Alistair in the 3.10, and we finish off in the 4.10 at Market Resin, which is a novices limited handicap chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. We got a field of 6 set to go to post for this one. A couple of inform runners here as well, Never Up and Ardmail, both chasing hat tricks. Either of them make the shortlist for yourself?
Yeah, I like this race. I think it's got a good shape to it, apart from Movie Legend, and even he, I mean, he pulled up last time on his second chase start, jumping went to pieces, but they put cheek pieces on, and if that helped, you couldn't entirely rule him out either. So all 6 have got claims here. I'd be against the 2 chasing hat-tricks, Ardmail and Never Up. I mean, Never Up beat 2 rivals at Southall last time. This is going to be a lot harder. Ardmail has won both times on... I mean, he's unbeaten over fences, been well back for both of them. There's no doubt he's going the right way, but both wins have been on heavy ground, so... some doubts about his effectiveness on this drier surface, and this is a better race as well. So the one I like is the Dan Skelton horse. Skelton's stable, sort of, I'll say they've been cold, but they've just not been banging in the winners like they normally do, but they had 3 at Bangor on Saturday, and I just think they've really, you know, they've really turned a corner. And it's also, this horse is returning from 82 days off the course. He's 3 winners at Bangor at the weekend, all had been off for even longer breaks. So if anything, that's probably a good thing. I think a break has done the stable good, and they're all coming back, you know, fresh and firing. And this horse, who won an Irish Point in 2015, he ran a really decent race to finish 3rd on its handicap debut over hurdles at Hereford. He's definitely got races in him over hurdles. So the fact they've decided to send him chasing, you know, sooner rather than later, I think bodes well. As you said, you know, he's a former Irish Point winner. I think he's on a very good mark. And with the stable in form, I expect this horse to produce a career best and go very close.
Okay, stage one then, the selection for Alistair in that race, the 4.10 at Market Resin. It's been a bit of a weird season for Dan Skelton, really, hasn't it? He has patches where his horses seem to be running well, and then never really keeps that momentum going, or he hasn't throughout the season. It's been a bit of a weird one, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's one of them trainers, I guess, you know, like a lot of them, you know, Venetia Williams, and it's like all yards, when they really hit form, then they're worth following. But yeah, he's definitely, I wouldn't say the winner's totally dried up, but they, you know, they were just, the strike rate wasn't quite as high as it normally is, and I expect them to finish the season really strongly now.
Mm. Before you go, Alistair, as usual, just a little bit of a quick summary of your selections, then, if you'll just confirm your picks for Monday for us.
Okie doke. Yeah, Vic's Last Stand goes, gets the nod in the 2.40 at Market Resin. Then in that competitive affair at Plumpton, we go for Beau de Brise. Future Gilded in the 3 o'clock at Market Resin. And then in the 4.10 at Market Resin, it's the Dan Skelton trained at Stage 1.
Well, thank you very much, Alistair. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again. I've learned some new phrases along the way as well. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you.
There you go. The thoughts of Alistair Jones then on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1.40pm. Dave Kellner, Rory Delaghi and Craig Forsyth, the team in the studio. Market Resin and Plumpton, the 2 meetings over the obstacles, and Wolverhampton on the all-weather Tapeter as well. So 3 meetings to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.